Theme music by Keese IMC. Definition of resilience is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov, the Siri Foundation, Margaret Casey Foundation, Progressive and Social Justice Fund of the Alaska Community Foundation, Atwood Foundation, Cook Inlet Tribal Council, and Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You just heard an Indigify special about Alaska Native hip-hop artists. That's it for Station Studio. Till next time, I'm Dime Roberts.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Andy Whoa Whoa looks a scream. Have him on my whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy Whoa Whoa, silver scream. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week goes by the name Nungies. We're here in her house to look at her personal art collection. And this is not art that you can see in person, but some of the pictures will be available on the KBOO website. Thanks for letting Art Focus come to your home, Nungies.
Thank you. Welcome to my home.
So you have, I would say, like 30, 40 pieces around the house, all placed, you know, for maximum enjoyment. They're over the couch.
Thank you.
Where you would see, and mm-hmm. you could really get a good look at things, and they're well lit. Just give us a sense of, you know, what type of art you have, where you get it, and what it means.
Sure. So I'm really interested in visionary art. So it's really a genre that's been around since the beginning of art. Usually fringe artists who focus on, you know, creating art that shows their spirituality in a visual art form, as well as kind of expressing, you know, shamanism and tribalism.
One of the first pieces, it's in your living room, sort of near the kitchen bar.
Yeah.
And it's pretty big. I'd say it's like 4 foot square.
It is.
And mm-hmm. it's called Huichol Quadro. Mm-hmm. Now, who are the Huichol people?
So the Huichol people are indigenous people from Nayarit. Most of them are in that state, but I actually used to travel to Tepic, and I studied with a Huichol shaman, and this was gifted to me.
Mm-hmm. This is in Mexico?
Yes, it is.
This image is a shaman. He's sort of in the middle, and he's got a stick pointed up to the sky with feathers on it, and I think flames. And then the whole piece is very vibrant, just multicolored. And what's the medium? How have they actually made these lines and shapes?
Yeah, so it's actually just plywood. Like you said, it's a 4x4 plywood square. And they take beeswax and lay it over the piece of wood, and they actually etch out in just like almost like a little stick the drawing, and then they lay little pieces of yarn kind of outlining the beeswax picture. Mm-hmm. And then it just encompasses the whole square, and it's really it's a traditional Huichol form of art.
So it's very textured. It's basically, you know, string is used. If there's a circle, string has been made into a spiral.
Correct.
The shaman has sort of feathered shoulder piece with a fish on it. So everything is string.
Right.
But incredibly bright colors that you've had it a long time and it hasn't faded, right?
Yeah. I've just taken care of it. I guess I've had it for close to 20 years now. And I really love how it depicts kind of the dream time as well as the underworld of the shamanic journey. So it kind of has the moon and the sun kind of signifying the earth, but then also has like more underground, underworld vision.
Mm-hmm. So some of the imagery is, there are a few rabbits on here. I see a blue rabbit, and there's a multicolored kind of rainbow rabbit. Do you know what the rabbit means in this world?
I don't know what the rabbit means, but I know that the deer, which is also depicted quite a bit, is very important to them. The Huichol Indians have a very close relationship with deer, you know, as food and as a resource.
And then, so the bottom of the picture, there's a cooking pot and a fire, and there's lots of flames coming out the bottom.
Right.
And the top is more sky with rain and clouds. So it represents a kind of cosmology, right?
Or correct. Exactly. Because a lot of these visions are done under the use of sacred peyote. And in these peyote circles are like these cauldrons where they sit around the fire and do ritual. Mm-hmm. So that's really, I think, you know, where the inspiration comes from is the use of that plant.
So what is the peyote ceremony? I mean, is it purely a religious thing, or, you know, can tourists do it, like when they go to Peru for the ayahuasca?
You know, I think that there has been some peyote tourism, but it's not as popular as like ayahuasca tourism, I think what you're kind of referring to. Peyote has become very scarce now because it has been overpicked and there isn't very much peyote anymore.
Let's move on to this other piece.
Sure.
So you've been to Burning Man a few times.
Yep, I've had my fair share of Burning Mans for sure.
And what is this piece called, and what's the connection to Burning Man?
So this piece actually doesn't have a name, but back in like 2011, there used to be a art collaborative in Seattle called the Church of Base, and they had a heart opening. It was an art opening. It was like H art opening, and there's two artists who actually did a live painting, and this was done by Isaac Kotek and Ryan Johnson.
And so the main image is a woman's face looking to the right.
Right.
So a woman in profile with sort of tribal painting on her face, and then a big red kind of headdress piece over her ear, which kind of looks like a spiral, and then there's kind of like a tongue, like a huge tongue there sticking up. And then the back of her head is something totally different, pointing to the left. There are these two brown kind of stump things. I don't know how you describe them.
Yeah, I think they're supposed to be smokestacks, because as you see behind it are these flames kind of, you know, blowing out fire from these smokestacks. At Burning Man, there's quite a bit of live fire art, and I think that's supposed to represent the live fire art. And this woman is kind of this neo-tribal, futuristic Burning Man girl.
So it's a rectangular painting. Most, I'd say like a third of it is just flames with white kind of core that's coming out of the smokestacks. And then this all joins into the back of the woman's head, which is sort of, it's kind of like it's exploding out the back of her head. Do you know, did the artists work on a one half each?
Yeah, so they actually had like a timer. So they would go in like 20-minute intervals or 30-minute intervals based on, you know, how the flow of the party was. So one would do one thing and it would inspire the other person to do something different or add something to it. So it was really a collaborative piece.
Do you know what medium it's in?
So it is actually an acrylic, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Were you there when it was being made?
Yes, I was there.
What was the atmosphere like, you know, gala fundraiser with everyone in black tie?
No. Everybody's in the finest Burning Man gear. It was quite festive, lots of music and dancing and just a real community building event. And at that event, I just fell in love with it. So over the years, I asked my friend if he would sell it to me, and I have the honor of having it.
Did you see it being painted then?
Yes.
Like bit by bit?
Yeah, it was a live painting there. Mm-hmm. I did not see the completed piece, but I knew I loved her when I saw her.
So it was the woman that kind of jumped out at you?
Yes, exactly. It was the woman that jumped out at me.
How do you, when you're looking at something being made, uh-huh. how do you know when you really, really want to have it?
It just moves my heart. I just, you know, have a visceral feeling that that piece is a part of an expression of me. And for me, I think as I've left Burning Man and don't go to Burning Man's anymore, I look at it every day and remember of all the good times that I've had there on the playa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you... did you say you got this afterwards from somebody else?
No, I got it from the artist. I got it from Isaac Kotek.
Like straight away after the...
I think it was a couple of years, actually. Because back then, you know, I didn't have very many resources. So I actually had a payment plan for him. I had a payment plan, yeah, for it. And he honored it. And mm-hmm. I got a great deal on it. So
That's what I love about the way people collect art in mm-hmm. Portland. You often get people... who can't afford to buy it, but they'll do it on a payment plan. You know, you got students, you got people in their first job. It's not the elitist thing you often associate with the gallery system around the world. Like in Portland, it's a bit more grassrootsy. Oh. And I think that seems to be the way you collect, right? You get work from people you know, mainly.
Yeah, and most of it, I would say, like a good 75% of it have been gifts over the years. And then as, you know, my interest for visionary art has grown, I've just purchased a couple of pieces.
There's another artist that you're fond of, Tom Swanson, and you have a lot of his stuff, actually. You have
yes.
five or six pieces. They're usually pointillism, so they're dots, colored dots, sort of meticulously placed together. I mean, this must have taken ages. This is a Ganesh.
Yes, it is.
So we've got Ganesh, the elephant.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he's wearing a sort of purple sweater, but I guess maybe he painted his body. And he's got his legs crossed, two hands out, like the palm towards us, and then the palm holding something. And he's got two other hands, and each one is holding a blue mushroom. With a long stalk, and then above him is a big mushroom, a sort of red and yellow dotted mushroom. He's sitting in a kind of huge corona of red and yellow and blue. They look like keys, actually, like house keys. And then all around him it changes to blue and green dots. There are these circles that kind of could be planets, or, you know, planets at night, with each one has a kind of corona around it, and then more mushrooms growing in the background. Tell us a little bit about Tom's method. Do you know how he makes these?
Well, Tom actually has a master's degree in art and consciousness from JFK, so he's really worked his whole life to create this method. And it's very meticulous. He uses, different kinds of pointed tools and dips them in paint, and then creates these little dots. And he really tries to focus on trying to contrast the colors so that it creates this like vibrating field. And these designs are trying to, take you to a different place and broaden your consciousness. And the mushrooms are psychedelic mushrooms. Many psilocybe mushrooms will actually stain blue, and that's the reference of the blue mushrooms. And he's really trying to honor the idea of entheogenic use of mushrooms.
What was that word?
Entheogenic. It's entheogen means to find the God within, and it's actually a practice of people who actually will use psychedelics with the intention of trying to find the God within themselves.
So this is not partying or doing them on the football field on a Friday night. This is a bit more intentional.
Right, exactly. This is for personal betterment and spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm. And that movement is pretty big now in Oregon with the move to legalize psilocybin.
Sure. I think it's kind of getting big everywhere. I think that the Michael Pollan book kind of opened everything up. I call it the Pollanization of the entheogenic community. And it's bringing in a lot of people who are now asking these questions. You know, hey, I did whatever in the 60s. You know, here I am, you know, older. You know, maybe I need to re-examine this.
And this image, does he want you to sit and, like, get into a trance state by looking at the dots? Because it's an optical illusion.
Right. I mean, don't you feel disoriented just by looking at it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's his style. Pointillism is his style, but in this one he's particularly going for a trance.
Right, exactly. And I think in general, he's really looking for you to go into a trance state. That's his intention with his art, mm-hmm. is to have you expand your sense of what is space and reality.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. This week, we have another coronavirus show where I'm not going out in public. I'm actually in the home of Nungis. She's a private collector. This is all work that she has bought or been gifted, and it's not for investment purposes, it's for her own personal enjoyment. And the theme is fringe art, and what would you call it?
Yeah, I call it visionary art.
Visionary art, right. To do with sort of transcendental states being visualized. One of the next pieces is one of the next pieces is by Noel Taylor. He's a Portland artist. It's called Quad Prima. Quad like four and prima like one. And it's one image that's been multiplied, so it's four images, so in a mirror fashion twice. Just tell us how he made this.
Yeah, so the original is done in oil, and he uses this technique of layering transparent oil paint to create this like depth. When you look at this painting, you will have this real organic diving in feeling.
So it's kind of Rorschach blot kind of style.
It is.
It's abstract. And because it's mirrored twice, you start seeing patterns. For the listener who hasn't looked at it on the web yet, it's a black kind of core with green, and then it spreads out into orange and red pieces.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a kind of background of dark green. You know, it could be like colored smoke, the way the imagery is, or it could be marble, like a sliced piece of marble. The colors really meld into each other, but there are white lines dividing them. So it could be organic, you know, it could be like a slice of bodily tissue, like a brain sample. It could be a lot of things. But when we look at these shapes, tell us some of the shapes you see.
Yeah, so I see on the very top almost like an insect or some kind of even frog or something like that. And then like hugged inside it is almost like this like Buddha or Polynesian man. At the very end, I see this like horn guy. I'm not sure what it is, but it's almost like he has a face of a deer, but then a body of a man.
And that's the same image, just upside down, right?
Exactly.
One is at the top, one is at the bottom. And you see, yeah, I see like a two-headed man with wings, or like a Easter Island head with a sort of set of wings and then some kind of insect-y legs. What about on the sides?
So for me, I actually see, you know, like an X-ray vision of a person's spine. And I see the neck with the shoulder. And then I actually even see the spine and the pelvis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like radiography.
Yeah.
What's this? This piece is in the middle of 10 pieces. Why is it they're in this cluster on one wall? Do you know why you placed it here?
Well, I just have so many pieces. I just felt like I needed an art wall to represent everyone. Because when somebody gifts you art, you want to have it in your home. You don't want to just have it in the closet. And people come over looking for their pieces. So this was one way to consolidate everything.
Oh, okay. Well, do you ever stare at this and, you know, for more than 2 minutes?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's beautiful. I love the colors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's so it's glossy. The surface is very reflective.
Right. So this is a reproduction of an original. It's actually printed on aluminum.
Mm-hmm. So it's an aluminum sheet on some kind of blackboard that makes it stand away from the wall.
Correct.
And what was the guy's name again?
Noel Taylor, and he's a local artist here in Portland, and he's a dear friend of mine.
Okay. Also on the wall is a amazing little piece that really jumps out. It's probably 10 inches square. It's in a little black frame. And it's Ken Kesey dressed as a jester, I think. It's a jester hat, brown jester hat. And on his chest, it's just his head, really, with a bit of shoulders. And then it says, "Get on the bus." And then the image itself is printed on blotter paper, so like LSD blotter paper, and the little image in that you would get in one square for one hit of acid is the bus. So tell us a bit about this piece and who made it and where it came from.
Right. It was actually it came from Zane Kesey, which is Ken Kesey's son. And the cool part of this is it actually has signatures of all the living members of the people who rode the bus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know where the bus was going?
Further.
Do you think this is the actual paper that they use in, you know, selling, spreading LSD, or is it a copy of that paper?
I do believe that it is an e-blotter acid paper, but obviously it doesn't have any LSD on it.
The sixth of the seven pieces we're going to look at today, this one hangs in the bedroom. And it's called Dream Glade Meta. Meta has two T's for some reason. And it's by Simon Hajduk. And where's Simon from?
He's from the Sunshine Coast, in Canada.
In BC?
Yes, in BC.
Right. So this image is, I think it's a Giclée print.
It sure
which,
is.
Which, you know, we don't normally talk about Giclée on art shows, but it's a popular way of, you know, having a nice big painting in your house. And this is an image of a woodland glade. The trees are sort of leaning in, and the whole image is bisected by this bright yellow light, the sun coming through the forest. On the floor there are ferns and all the other stuff that grows on the floor in a forest. And then everything has this sort of trippy all the ferns have this sort of fractal design on them, and the trees also have sort of fractals and, you know, paisley patterns. And then also there is a honeycomb imagery, which looks like the kind of interference you get on a photograph, but this is all painted. So do you know much about Simon?
You know, I don't know anything about Simon, to be honest. I actually just was drawn to the piece because it really does depict well what it feels like to be on psychedelics in a forest in the Pacific Northwest. It just kind of, like I said, moved my spirit, and I fell in love with it. So
the imagery is, it's like a forest that's not just alive, but, you know, it's creeping and crawling, you know, everything is moving. There are tendrils moving up the trees. There are a lot of scrolls, like you get on a scroll on the top of a cello. There's a lot of that image. And then these strange hexagons that look like, honeycomb.
Right.
And then within...
I think they're benzene rings. I mean, it's really hard to say because it's, I don't know what his intentions were, but many of the psychedelics, actually the base of the chemical molecule actually is a benzene ring. And that's what I see is these benzene rings.
Oh, so it's a, yeah, it's like a chemical formula.
Correct.
The drawing.
It's a molecule.
Okay. And then there are these other, these golden dots of light, which could be like a Tinkerbell, like floating around.
Right.
Do you have any idea what that is?
You know, for me, it represents spirit. And, you know, I think this idea of, you know, remembering that we are of this earth, we are humans that reside on this planet, and this bright light is, you know, the Mother Earth and, you know, her light, and these little little yellow balls kind of represent spirit.
Mm-hmm. And there's also a bunch of, I think these are
Amanita muscarias. Those are Amanita muscarias. They're these mushrooms that were used by Siberian shamans to induce a trance-like state. And they are very common here in the Pacific Northwest.
The final picture is called Sacred Temple. It's by Amanda Sage. This is a print you've got framed. It's probably 4 foot by 3. And it's, imagine an egg shape, and there's a lot of sort of spiral imagery into the middle of the egg, where there's a temple with these tall minarets. And then the top around the egg is these flames, which look very much like William Blake kind of flames. And then down the bottom, there's a ring of sacred plants. Just tell us what these different plants are.
Yeah, so you have cannabis, and then once again, we have Amanita muscaria.
That's a red mushroom with a white stalk.
Yeah, it is. You know, often you see it in children's books. And then we have the peyote. And
what
then,
is that? That's a pink flower on top of a cactus?
Yes, exactly, exactly. It's the cactus that's used by Huichol Indians to induce a trance-like state.
And then what's that? Lucky Irish clover?
I'm not sure what
Shamrock.
That is.
And then what are these? More mushrooms?
Yeah, I think those are probably some kind of a cubensis. And then I think up here are peyote, I mean, excuse me, poppies with a San Pedro, and then we have a Brugmansia. So all of them are fairly well-known psychoactive plants.
Mm-hmm. What else do you see in this? I see eyes in the flames, in the teardrop shape of the flames.
Yeah, yeah, because it's visionary, right? It's these plants are to help you to find a deeper sense of yourself. And I think the temple is the representation that this is sacred. Mm-hmm. And I really do love the egg, like it's almost like a rebirth. You take these medicine plants and you have these visions that enable you to have a rebirth of yourself.
Mm-hmm. My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Nungis. We were in her home looking at her personal art collection, and you can't see it, but you can see some of these online at kboo.fm. So thank you so much for inviting us in.
Oh, thank you so much for being here.
This is Art Focus. My name's Joseph Gallivan. I'm here on your community-supported radio station, KBOO Portland, where we are one of the few shows talking about visual art in Portland. Thanks for listening today, and I want to remind everyone that if you can donate today at kboo.fm/give, please do so. We've had to cancel our usual spring membership drive, so we hope you'll show your support by giving online. We know times are tough, so if you're not able to donate, don't worry. But if you can, please show your support for this free community resource. kboo.fm. Thanks very much.
Andy walking, Andy tired, Andy take a little snooze, tie him up when he's fast asleep, send him on a pleasant cruise. When you wake up on the sea, be sure to think of me and you. To think about paint and to think about glue, what a jolly boring thing to do. Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
Tune in to KBOO on Wednesday, April 29th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. for the live broadcast of the Urban League of Portland's Black Votes Matter 2020 Candidate Forum. This forum is an opportunity for Black voters and their allies to ask questions of the candidates running in the Portland mayoral race and the Multnomah County District Attorney's race. Again, that's the Urban League of Portland's Black Votes Matter 2020 Candidate Forum on Wednesday, April 29th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Join KBOO this Friday, May 1st at 11 a.m. for KBOO's first online live webinar and Q&A. The subject is COVID-19 in Palestine and Israel. We will hear from guest speakers like Dr. Osama Tenos, a pediatrician specialist